She's in the bathroom continuously, like messes everywhere. It didn't go well because she's so dehydrated, probably took too much of a dose that the baby's heart tones are starting to drop.
I had a gal doing like deep breathing once when I was trying to do lip filler. Give her the dental block, but she just kept going, like, am I hurting you? Is it, do I need to numb you? No, I'm just, you know, trying to stay calm.
Yeah, I've had some filler here before, but I just don't like these balls. Well, that ligament pushed it all the way over to here.
Yeah.
And she had these little balls of filler right under the skin, and they look kind of like fat.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, I think it's filler. It felt like filler. And she goes, no, I think it is. I injected it with
Hylenex.
Hylenex. Dissolved it, instantly gone. She was so happy.
Yeah.
And she's like, I'm never doing filler under the eyes again.
Yeah.
Like, I don't blame you. Hey, all. Welcome to the next installment of Nurse Stories. Today, I have a special guest, Lindsay Coyle. Say hi, Lindsay.
Hi.
And Lindsay has agreed to come on. We go way back, and she's going to hear to tell some awesome stories. But before we get into that, we just want to give a shout out to our sponsors, Five Square Aesthetics. Five Square Aesthetics is a company helped to get nurses out in the market and doing talks and fillers as a side hustle. So if you're interested in hearing more about that, check out fivesquareaesthetics.com, and they have everything you need, from a medical director to getting supplies to getting your social media up and running to getting the legal to form your business. Literally everything, including a medical director that you need as a nurse to get going. So thanks Five Square for sponsoring us, and without further ado, let's talk.
Okay.
So, Lindsay, tell us a little bit about yourself. You've been a nurse for how long?
Oh, since 2003, so oh, wow. 21 years now. Yeah.
Isn't it crazy how fast it goes by?
I know, yeah, it goes by quickly. Yeah, I was a ripe old age of 19 when I started, so now you know how old I am. But,
well,
yeah.
I wish I can go back in time to my 19-year-old self and tell them, hey, become a nurse. But a 19-year-old male, that's not even on the radar. It's kind of funny how life leads you down pathways, right?
Yeah.
So since 2003, what nursing jobs have you had? What was your first one?
So I started out probably just like figuring myself out. My first one was med-surg for a year, and then I did ER for a year, and then I did neuro for a year. And then I got my first labor and delivery job in Utah and fell in love and stayed there for like 15 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then aesthetics, as you know, with you, and I'm now 4 years now.
So. How long in aesthetics have you been out of the grind in doing aesthetics?
So I actually had my fifth baby, and she was a year old when I came to first train with you. Mm-hmm. So I stopped working L&D after I had her, and then didn't really want to go. I mean, I loved L&D, but I didn't really want to go back to hospital hours having five kids. Was hard working, you know, Christmases and holidays and weekends and sometimes 16-hour shifts. So I, my sister was one of your clients and informed me when you started to train with you. And then I've only been doing aesthetics since then. I do mostly part-time because, again, I have five kids, but it's been really great as part-time. I'm still making a good living.
So part-time is how many hours a week?
I work, do the math, probably 10, 12, 16 hours a week. Not bad.
And you kind of did something interesting with your sister.
Yeah.
And set up your your injecting studio in her studio. Tell us about that.
Two sisters, actually. So my other sister, Janessa, is a nurse. We work together. She's on maternity leave right now, but she was a former OR nurse, and she and I both trained with you, and we both do aesthetics, Botox, fillers, all that kind of stuff. But our other sister, Natalie, is a hairstylist, hair guru. She's been doing it for 15 years. Owns her own salon. And so she's been begging us to do this forever. Finally did it 4 years ago. And so we work together with her in the same building. So there's like six or seven hairdressers in the salon, a nail tech, and then we have a clinic room in the back for Janessa and I for the nurses.
Gotcha. So you have a clever name for your nurse side hustle. What is it?
Janessa and I call our business Aesthetic Sister Nurses.
Yep.
And then our building that we work in is Collective Beauty Lounge.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Collective. You're in Nampa, Idaho, right?
Nampa. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yep. South Nampa.
Well, I remember when you launched your business, your aesthetic business, because I don't know if I ever told you this, but my son was having surgery the day you launched.
No way.
I was in the hospital doing all your consults. I don't know if I ever told you that.
No.
I didn't want to distract from your launch day.
Yeah, well, thanks.
but you had a really successful launch. Do you remember
that? It was crazy. Yeah, it was like a Botox party, and I I think I had like 15 or 20 people coming. I'm like, sorry, I'm still going 3 or 4 hours later. But yeah, it was great.
Yeah. And she was doing telehealth visits. She was doing telehealth visits with me while I was at the hospital.
Yeah.
And literally my son's like in recovery and I'm like, the doctor's there, but I
get the call for me every 5 minutes,
which was totally fine. Like I didn't want to, you know, you worked so hard to get to there.
Oh, thanks.
And you didn't have any control over it. But do you remember the next day after your launch party talking to
me? Texted you and was like, oh my gosh, this is how much I made. It was like $6,000 or $7,000 or something like that. Something crazy. And I'm like, I'm never going back to floor nursing after this because I never make money that fast. And
In fact, just Botox. In fact, I think I still have the text on my phone. But you said, and it's always stuck with me, and I always share your story because you were one of my first trainees.
Yeah.
And you really worked hard at it. I always use you as an example because in your text you said, I had no idea I could make this much money
as a nurse. Yeah.
Right? Yep. You remember saying that?
Shocked.
Uh-huh. Right. So, I mean, your first event, you did thousands.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And tell us what that did for your freedom.
Oh, opened up a whole new world. I think I'll never go back. I see. Yeah. I mean, it's nice being able to write my own schedule with kids, but also like, to make that kind of money and do what I want to do and connect with people and see clients over and over again in the hospital. It's fun, but you can help somebody have a baby or hold in their hand at the end of life stuff and never see them again. And it's just hard not to see clients. So this is awesome because I get to see people every couple months and build real relationships and really make great money. Yeah.
Yeah. It's good. So, do you mind sharing, like, with your part-time gig, what kind of revenues you get in a typical month?
Gross, anywhere from, there's hot and cold months, but somewhere between 7 and 10,000.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And profits, you're going to be in that, $5,000 range, working a very part-time job.
Yeah.
And to put it into perspective, how many shifts at the hospital would you have to do to get $5,000?
A ton.
Right.
I probably... working part-time in the hospital would make a couple grand every pay period. And that was just, a 12-hour shift or two. So
I don't miss those days.
I don't either.
Right.
Yeah,
those 12
I've never had a job in nursing that I hated, but yeah. The right. making
those 12-hour shifts, just they wear on you. You know, and what people don't realize is that it's nice to get it all done in 12 hours, but man, you really sacrifice your family life.
Yeah, you really
do. You're out of the house before your kids are up, and when you get home, they are getting in bed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you literally don't see your family that day.
And it's really hard,
And that's if you work day shift. You work night shift, good luck.
Right, and then trying to get sleep during the day with kids around.
With kids around, yeah. Right. Did you ever work nights?
I did,
How many years did you do nights for?
A few, 4 or 5 years. And it was kind of easier on the schedule, but not easier on me. I think my health kind of took a dive at that point.
100%.
Yeah.
So. I still suffer from my night shifts. I did 5 years of night shift, and my sleep has never been what it was before. Mm-hmm. I used to just zonk out, sleep like a baby or teenage boy.
Right.
After night shift, it really messes you up.
It does, yeah.
And I don't know if you know this, but the World Health Organization now classifies night shift as a carcinogen.
Really?
Night shift work, yeah.
I'm not surprised.
If you work a night shift your whole career, you will live 9 years less than someone who doesn't.
Yeah,
that's how much it messes up.
I mean, I started getting like autoimmunity issues and stuff too. So
Well, your immune system needs restoring during
there's no time for restoration. Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, if I can go back to my younger self, I would say do not work night shift. It's not worth the 19 or 20%
yeah, difference.
It's not worth it.
Yeah.
Not
I agree with you.
And I would have told him to get into aesthetics a lot sooner. So
plus you and I nurses, but there's better things.
Tell us, before we dive into like your past, since we're on the aesthetic subject, tell us about your journey from education to where you are now, because you're doing all sorts of fun stuff now.
Yeah.
But tell us how you started off.
Oh, just like my degrees?
Well, no, not the degrees. Like, okay, you've been a nurse. You decided to pull the trigger. You decided to get into aesthetics. What was that process from that decision to where you are now?
So I started out just doing Botox, which trained with you, did that for a few months, felt like I really...
So your training, what was your training like, your very first course?
Just a couple days learning anatomy, some classroom work, and then working on some models and then getting a certificate. So everybody asks me this, it's kind of expensive to get into aesthetics at the front end. I mean, the training is not cheap and you have to pay and do a course for each little thing that you do.
And that never ends.
No. And then you're continuously doing more and more education to keep keep up mm-hmm. and make sure your skills are current. But
yeah,
but it's fun. I mean, I love learning. I'm most nervous.
So you did
do.
A talks course first.
Did a talks right. course first.
And then after
a
that.
A few months later, did filler. Oh, no, we did microneedling before filler.
Okay.
So microneedling is probably like 4 or 5 months later. Mm-hmm. Did that for a little while and then added filler. I think like just every few months I would add something that I wanted.
New service.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's a really smart way of doing it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I taught you this. And for those listening, when you're getting into aesthetics, it's all about talks.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. And that's the number one.
Right, because they keep coming back. It's like getting mm-hmm. your hair done. You yeah. got to get your hair done every 2 or 3 months.
Yeah, and that just is what people seem to like the most. Yeah.
Well, they do, and it's fairly affordable. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not crazy expensive, and they keep coming back. And so if you build your business on yeah. the talks business,
you're going to do pretty well.
Mm-hmm. But then eventually people ask for skin, and
yeah.
you brought on mm-hmm. microneedling,
yeah.
and then they ask for filler, and you brought on filler, mm-hmm. and you just practice.
Mm-hmm.
And then after filler, what'd you learn?
Kybella. Yeah. And then I did like a dermaplaning training to add on to the microneedling. And then the most recent one was PDO threads, mm. which I love.
She's actually really good at them. She's better than me.
It's really fun. Yeah, it's right? really fun. I feel like it's art for the face, but
all of this is art for the
it's
face.
It's true.
Yeah. Right? And that brings up a good point, because when you're getting into aesthetics, you are becoming an artist.
Uh-huh.
And you're doing the watercolors for a while.
Yeah.
You know, before you get to the Monet stage.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Right? And that just takes a lot of practice and mm-hmm. training and practice right. and conferences and training and webinars, and mm-hmm. it just never ends.
And now I can look at a face and be like, okay,
yeah,
do this, right? this. Yeah.
100%. You're like, oh, if I do this there, then this is going to happen. If I
yeah.
do this there, that's going to
yeah.
happen, you know, stuff. So, I mean, I just learned a new technique in aesthetics less than 6 months ago
yeah.
called the facelift. And I think you might have actually cued me in on it. Where you inject the platysma muscle right down here.
Yeah.
And then everything goes whoop.
Yeah, it works so well.
Oh, uh-huh. it works so well.
Yeah.
I started doing that on patients. The patients love it. And yeah. it's cheap. I mean, it's like, what, 16
snatching
minutes?
Your jaw. So easy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like $150, $200. And you mm-hmm. can just, mm-hmm. and I don't know if you know this, but that little technique of just injecting right there, it's about a half a syringe worth of volume.
Yeah, yeah. you did tell me that.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. yeah, it's true. It looks like it, mm-hmm. like you yeah. put a half syringe in the jawline.
That's pretty cool. So mm-hmm. you've been doing aesthetics for, you said, 4 years now?
Yeah.
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 And you're pretty content with just doing the part-time thing while the kids are getting out of school?
Yeah, right? I'll probably go more full-time. My youngest is 4 right now, so I got another year of preschool. When she goes to kindergarten full-time, then I'll
Yeah, I think it's great for women that want to be moms or dads that
it's
want
awesome.
To be dads.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you really can make your own schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Like what days did you do? Mostly evenings, mostly mornings? Like, what do you do?
A little bit of both. I do full day on Saturdays usually, which is great for all my working clients and stuff. It works great with the schedule. And then my daughter goes to preschool on Monday and Wednesday, so I do it.
There you go.
On Monday and Wednesdays, and it's perfect because I can be a great mom and a great nurse.
Basically, you know, 8 to 10 hours a week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you
know, not bad.
30, 40 hours a month.
Mm-hmm.
You're doing, let's just say, $8,000.
Yeah.
That's $200 an hour.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
It's great.
It is great.
What was the thing that really made you successful? Was it hooking up with your sisters and doing it that way?
That's
or social media?
Fun.
Or how'd you get the word out?
Yeah, it's a lot of referrals. I feel like I get more from that than even social media. We do social media, but yeah, referrals is a lot of it. And then I'm lucky that I work with, you know, a lot of hairdressers and nail techs and people that are already in the industry. So there's people already there getting those services done, and then it's just adding another facet
to
it.
Do you give your the hair salon or the stylist, do you give them free
discount? Referral discounts? And yeah, and then clients of my own, if they bring in or send friends or whatever, referral discounts for that too.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's a really good idea. Your model, by the way, is one I highly recommend, which
oh, good.
Is go find a salon, rent a room.
Yeah.
I mean, you're working with
your
sisters.
The lease
is pretty cheap.
Yeah.
The lease is cheap. Like in our area, you can find a room for $500 mm-hmm. to $700 a month.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Very low overhead. Sometimes they'll even include like a receptionist
uh-huh.
to check your patients in for
yeah.
you. You know, you don't have to worry about anything else. And then you got this, you've got your own little space, and
yep.
you just do one person at a time.
Yeah.
If you see a person every 30 minutes, you're going to be generating $500 an hour.
Yeah.
Right.
And there's good resources out there for charting EMRs already.
Yeah, you use aesthetic already. Record. Mm-hmm. Which
I use aesthetic record.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And
it's really not that hard to set up, is what I'm saying. Yeah.
No, it's yeah. not. Like, there's a lot of cost up front with education and mm-hmm. stuff like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, our sponsor is Five Square Aesthetics. They take care of all that for you. Part of your membership is the education.
Oh, that's huge.
It is, right? That was the biggest barrier entry that I have found.
It's not that big of a barrier though, because like we said with my Botox party, I mean,
you paid it off the first day.
First day, yeah, one Botox party, and I paid all my education off. So yep. That was awesome.
But yeah, I mean, traditionally you're paying $3,000 to $6,000 to get started in education.
Yeah,
right, and then you've got legal fees and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Did I set you up with a lawyer to get your business set up, or did you do that on your own?
No, my husband owns a business, so I kind of already tailed onto his accountants and the lawyers. So yeah,
cool.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. That's super exciting that you got into something that you love doing. And the other thing that's nice about aesthetics is there's no stress.
No, it's really fun. Yeah. Right? I tell my clients, I feel like I'm at a slumber party. Like I just get to talk to everybody and make them look beautiful, and I get paid to do that. It's really fun. Yeah.
Yeah. My favorite part of the visit, the aesthetic visit, is not the injecting. It's getting to know patients.
Yeah.
Cause they have crazy, everybody has such good stories, right? Which is why you're here. Cause you're going to have some good stories you want to talk about too. But yeah, you just get to know these people. They become part of your family. You treat them
it's
right.
It's true. Yeah.
Back,
they feel like family.
Friends, and you just grow this little practice. And
they bring their friends and
then they bring their friends and they'll throw a party or you know, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. So it's super fun. So well, that's cool. Well, let's go back and let's talk about some crazy stories.
Okay.
You were in med surg. There's always a crazy story with med surg.
Yeah.
You were in the ED and you said you were in neuro.
Neuro,
What's your best story?
Oh, probably ER has crazy stories. I have some fun ones from L&D too. ER, I mean, everybody tells the stories about, this is bad, but it's always like sexual stuff that people come in. It's like things up the rectum that nobody would ever.
Well, that's a perfect lead in for our segment, up the butt segment.
Yeah.
So tell us up the rectum.
Oh, the worst one I ever saw that never made sense to me was a light bulb.
A light bulb?
Yeah. Like, why would you do that?
Did
glass
it break?
Breaks. Yeah. So they had to go in surgery and take all the glass shards.
Did they do? They probably did a colostomy back, right?
Yeah.
And they have to let it heal for a while.
Poor gastro surgeon for that one, yeah.
Gosh. But, and I bet it was a guy.
It was a guy.
It's always a guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, what? How? Were you drunk? Why would you think that?
I don't know. There must be some sort of pleasure in it.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And the next worst ones, I think, are the Viagra overdoses, which happens.
Well, tell the public what happens with a Viagra overdose.
You have an erection that won't go away for hours, and it's horribly painful.
It's horribly painful. And I don't know if you know this, I do, that if your erection lasts longer than 4 hours, it's a medical emergency.
Yeah.
Like, and if it lasts longer than a day, you're done. You'll never have an erection again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so,
don't do it.
For those of you listening that have an erection that goes too long, and there's certain medications like trazodone, 1 in 3,000 people will get a reaction. It's called prioprism. Yeah, prioprism.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Where your erection just won't go away. I worked on a med surg unit that did gastrointestinal and urology.
Oh.
And so we would get them from the emergency room after they've been treated.
Ugh.
And do you know what the treatment is? For erection?
No. I remember there was, it's been a lot of years. There was medications we give, and then there was like a pediatric blood pressure cuff that we
try to get
the blood back into the system. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes they get stented. They'll go into the corpus callosum, and they'll literally put a stent and drain the blood out. So it goes limp.
That's better than a blood pressure cuff, or at least faster.
Yeah. But it's pretty horrible. Like, I have a lot of stories about guys who never had an erection again.
Oh.
Because they waited too long. They came in 24, 26 hours later.
Embarrassed. Yeah.
Embarrassed.
Not worth it.
It's not worth it. It's actually kind of sad.
Yeah.
Because that's obviously a really important part of your life, but.
Should put that on the box.
Black box warning. That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
I'm going to share, I only have a certain number of rectum stories, so I'm going to sparse them out. But I'm going to give you a really good one. Since we're talking urology and rectum,
We went there right away.
Yep, and I was on a urology gastrointestinal floor.
Yeah, you have a lot of them.
We had a patient once who obviously was a little loony.
Yeah.
And came in and he had a scented candle up the rear.
Oh, jeez.
And he took one of those long fireplace matches.
He lit it?
And he tried to light it through his penis. That's a true story.
No.
Yes. And he got both stuck. So in his penis, he got this long match stuck in his urethra. Yeah. And then he got the candle up the rear. Obviously, he was a little confused.
They don't connect, sir.
They don't connect. Yeah, pretty horrible situation. Ouch. So that involved two different surgeons.
Yeah.
They had to cut there's all these splinters and stuff that were left inside their urethra. You know, I think that one had a suprapubic gathered back for urine. And then I don't think he got
he caused some permanent damage sort of thing.
Probably, but yeah. I don't think he got a colostomy. I think they were able to get the candle out. But people don't realize, like, when you put something up the rear, it forms a vacuum.
Yeah.
And you go to pull it out, there's a vacuum there that keeps it in there. And so they have to literally surgically go in there and inflate the rectum air.
And can't get things out, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you got to be really careful with stuff. Like, I mean, there's literally sex toys that are designed to prevent a vacuum seal, you know, for putting stuff up the rear. But
yeah,
it's pretty crazy stuff. You said you had a crazy labor and delivery story.
Usually the crazy labor and delivery stories are castor oil. So this is another thing to never do. Castor oil, gals will use it when they're desperate to get into labor. And it works, but it's not worth it. It's like major intestinal cramps, like super dehydrated. They're contracting like crazy in horrible pain. Anyways, I've had a few of those patients, but the worst one I had was when I was working in Washington. So this gal that was like 37 weeks. So 40 weeks is full term. 37, they consider it term technically, but really the best time to have a baby is like past 38 and 5, 39 weeks, just when the lungs are the best for the baby. Sure. And it's a young mom, first time mom. I swear she was like 19 or 20. So she comes in contracting a little bit. I have her as a labor check. What we do with labor checks is like watch them on the monitor, see how often they're contracting, check the cervix, keep them for a couple hours. If the cervix change and the contractions are regular, then they're in labor. And if it doesn't, then they're not. So hers cervix didn't change. The contractions are pretty sporadic. So I have to send her home because she's not in labor yet. And I was like, it's okay. You know, another week or two, hold on. I know you're uncomfortable, but really the best thing for your baby is if you buy another week for the lung maturity. And I remember her looking at me like just angry. Yeah, she's mad that we're sending her. Didn't want to be there. So she comes back in by the end of my shift, probably like last 3 hours. Thinks she's in labor again. And as they often do, go home and take castor oil. She's in the bathroom continuously, like messes everywhere. It didn't go well because she's so dehydrated, probably took too much of a dose that the baby's heart tones are starting to drop. Mm. Yeah, it was scary. She ends up in the OR on a C-section. And,
jeez.
Yeah.
Fluids and all that.
Right. And when you're the labor and delivery nurse, you're also the circulating OR nurse that would follow the... Uh-huh. So I did a lot of OR deliveries. But anyway, so we're in the OR. It was the worst situation. I think she took the most castor oil of anybody I've seen, but she's literally messing herself all over our OR table, down on the ground while delivering. The delivery went smoothly, but the baby wasn't breathing very well after because it's too young, 37 weeks. Yeah. Didn't get that lung maturity. So the baby goes to NICU. Bit, right. Yeah. And then I've got a mess to clean up.
They made you clean that up?
Well, no, I mean, the housekeeping comes in later, but I'm cleaning up the patient.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Anyway.
I bet that was a pleasant smell.
No.
Well, birth kind of has a weird smell in and of itself.
Yeah. You get used to it.
You get used to that. Like all those smells you kind of get used to in the hospital. Like mm-hmm. The only one I could never get used to was like we're on gastrointestinal floor. It was like C. diff.
C. diff is the worst smell if you smell
or
it.
Or GI bleed.
Mm-hmm. That's even that's worse, maybe.
Yeah. That one's probably worse than yeah. C. diff. But yeah, you kind of get used to those smells. Like the perineum.
You do. Smell. Yeah, yeah. You can't gross out an L&D nurse or a gastro nurse. Yeah, like we smell the worst.
Were you able to keep the stool from, you know, you're just trying to be sterile on the belly?
Yeah, fortunately, I mean, she's on the OR table. I've already got her like urinary cast, which is just going down. But yeah, didn't mess with the surgical site. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh.
Fortunately, I've got the surgical booties on and stuff. But yeah, it was a mess. So yeah.
Don't miss
anybody
those
listening, days, never use the castor oil. It's not worth it for anybody involved. You
know? The only time I ever did labor and delivery was in school. And I did one day in labor and delivery, and I actually really enjoyed it.
It's awesome.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I thought it was really good. But apparently men in labor and delivery don't work because women don't want them in there.
Yeah.
And so, and they I literally thought, man, I could do this for a career.
Yeah.
And the nurses I was shadowing that are like, it's not good for you.
Yeah.
Like,
unfortunately.
Sounds sexist.
Yeah.
Women, you're going to be with a woman all day and they want another woman.
They don't feel as comfortable.
Mm-hmm. Not to say that there aren't labor and delivery nurse males out there.
Mm-hmm.
But
I've seen a couple.
Yeah, I've seen a couple too. Mm-hmm. And they were great. They were great. But it's very rewarding.
It's very
rewarding. It's also very tragic sometimes too.
Yeah.
Do you have any tragic stories?
Fortunately, those are few and far between. But yeah, there is the occasional
stillbirth.
Those are the worst. Yeah, I did float to NICU sometimes. And that was the hardest. The drug addicted babies, they're very hard to comfort. They have to be on all sorts of medications to recover from being in a high drug environment inside mom, and they're just like high-pitched cry and a lot of pain. They're hard to comfort because most babies, you know, you can hold, and but they're like almost don't like to be touched or stimulated too much. Yeah, it's really hard.
So sad.
That's probably the most heartbreaking things I've seen. Yeah, is the drug babies is even harder than the loss, you know, because they're in so much pain. But yeah,
it is. When you think about like an adult that goes cold turkey,
yeah,
think about the suffering they have. They have the shakes,
yeah, the withdrawal symptoms are awful.
Well, that's happening with the baby too.
Yeah,
and exactly. The baby doesn't know how to express itself. It's brand new baby, doesn't even know how to process all this information.
Yeah,
and honestly, it's probably gonna mess that baby up for the rest of
it. Does, yeah, there's usually some learning deficits for life. Yeah,
super tragic. Super tragic. So.
Yeah.
Well, that's sad.
Yeah.
What about a funny story? Any funny stories?
Funny stories. aesthetics. There's not much funny stuff that happens in aesthetics. I guess I've had a couple people almost pass out.
I've had that happen.
I had somebody like with a lip flip, we're just like putting Botox to the lip. It's tender. I started putting lidocaine on everybody's lip.
Oh, you do?
She like, I was going to jump out of my chair. Like I put just the first little, and she's like, her feet go up in the chair, and it's like, I'm stopping because I think she's going to jump out of the chair. Well, that's probably the only
I don't know if you realize this, but
that happen.
Second to fingertips, there's more nerve endings in the lips than anywhere else.
Yeah, it's a sensitive spot.
Super sensitive. And it's the same nerve that's like, that goes up into your nose. So like if you ever pull a hair out and you get like eye watery, like, oh, it's that same nerve. So anytime you do anything with the lips, It is sensitive. Now, I usually don't put lidocaine on the lips, but ice usually works pretty well, too.
Oh, yeah.
Just put a quick ice pack on there.
That'll probably work even faster. Yeah.
Super quick. You don't have to wait for it to
get done.
I had a patient faint on me once. Want to hear the story?
Yes.
Okay. This was actually really bad. So I can't remember what I was doing. I think I was doing some filler. And you know how when you do cheeks and you put it right on the bone, it makes that noise?
Yeah. I always warn people, you're going to hear a funny story.
Well, I usually do too, but for whatever reason, I did not, when I was doing filler on the cheeks, I forgot to mention, hey, you're going to hear this crunching and grinding.
Mm-hmm.
Because that needle tip, when it hits the bone, sounds like a crunch and grind. So anyways, I'm injecting this woman, the crunch and grind happens, and she goes pale, diaphoretic, and passes out.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, oh, here we go. Now she's in my chair, so she's safe, but she's not breathing.
Oh, jeez.
Because she's like in shock.
Yeah.
Like literal shock.
Usually when they faint, they're at least breathing.
Yeah. So like, she's got a pulse and I'm like, oh, her heart's beating. Like, oh, she's going to take a breath here any second. Well, somebody's not breathing for 10, 15, 20 seconds.
No.
You start getting worried.
Yeah.
And I'm like, son of a gun, I'm going to have to start doing
sternal rub or something.
I'm going to have to start doing, if she's not breathing, her heart's going to stop beating. I'm going to have to start doing CPR on her.
Yes, yeah.
Right? So then, to your point, I did a sternal rub.
Yeah, good.
I'm like cranking on it, and she's still not.
Whoa.
So I would say about 30 seconds went by, which is an eternity. Like, if somebody's not breathing and you're responsible for it, 30 seconds
that's
goes
scary.
By.
Mm-hmm.
It's scary. Mm-hmm. So finally, I just took my hand and just smacked her right here on the sternum and said, wake up. And then she was like, oh, like she didn't know where she was.
She had really freaked herself out.
Well, she fainted out. And after that, I now have a smelling salt taped to the wall.
That's smart. I should do that.
Yeah. So now there's a smelling salt taped to the wall. And I've never had to use it since. That was the last pass out I've had.
Yeah.
But that was...
It's usually just anxiety. I think it's holding their breath a little bit. Like, is this going to hurt?
But... Yeah. Another time in aesthetics that I had that was kind of... And this is actually... I mean, it's not funny. It wasn't funny at the time, but it was really funny looking back. That's all nursing, right? Yeah. Nursing is like the stuff you go through. It's like awful when you're going through it.
Yeah.
But when you look back, it's like kind of funny.
Yeah.
I was doing... I had an influencer come into my practice. And I was doing her... I was going to do her lips for free. And she was going to post on her social media platform and she's going to do all this. And I'm like, okay. And she's like, yeah, you can do whatever you want. Any kind of content. I'm like, okay, let's do a live. So I did, I set up a Facebook live. Well, in my practice, for whatever reason, we are in this like cellular hole. So I can't get Wi-Fi. Mm-hmm. So I was requiring on my Wi-Fi. Well, my Wi-Fi was spotty at the time. Mm-hmm. We had this really awful Wi-Fi. And so it was just my connection was always just really awful. And I could not get this Facebook Live to work. And the reason why was because there is a God and God knew what was coming.
He wanted your hands free.
And he wanted my hands free. And he didn't want me to show the world what was about to happen.
Oh, no.
So anyways, I go and I give her a dental block. And in a dental block, you're targeting the major nerves of the lips.
That's the worst part. It's the worst part, really. Yeah.
And she went into having a vasovagal reaction.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm. So she got diaphoretic, sweaty, pale. As soon as that, and it was the epinephrine. The epinephrine got her heart beating, and she went into this kind of like panic mode. And we were recording it off live because we couldn't get online.
Yeah.
And she starts panicking, and then she starts throwing up. And her
that works real well during a lip filler procedure.
Right. And I'm like, oh my gosh, so I got a bag. She's vomiting in this bag. She's all like kind of anxious and freaking out. And I could have broadcast that to the world.
Yeah. Thankfully you didn't. Yeah.
Thank heavens there is a God and he knew that was coming. And we didn't ever share that video.
Good.
We never shared that video. And she still comes to me this day. Okay. She's like, remember, don't put any epinephrine in it. And so, but that was super, it was pretty awful at the time, but it was kind of funny looking past.
That's funny.
Back at it.
I had a gal doing like deep breathing once when I was trying to do lip filler. Give her the dental block, but she just kept going, like, am I hurting you? Do I need to numb you? No, I'm just, you know, trying to stay calm. I'm like, okay, try to hold still a little bit so I can, it's hard to do lip filler and sort of.
Yeah. No, I mean, yeah, you can't have it move their lips at all, right?
Yeah, no. Kind of funny.
Let's go back into aesthetics. What's your favorite aesthetic procedure
that you do
for patients? What do you think is the best, like?
It used to be, I've liking threads lately, but it used to be like cheek filler because it just like changes the whole look of the face. And that's one that people like don't go straight for, but one that I recommend right at the top because it's like if you've got any hollowing in the cheeks, if I put some cheek filler, it's going to knock 5-10 years off your face right away.
100%. Mm-hmm. And it checks a lot of boxes, right?
Yeah.
Like some people have under line, eye. Right? Mm-hmm. They'll be sunken here. Mm-hmm. There'll be a shadow where it's not supposed to be. And maybe a little bit of sagging. And you just add a little bit of volume right there and it just pulls everything up.
Yeah.
It hides some shadows. It makes the light reflect where it's supposed to. Mm-hmm. Cheek filler is fantastic. Uh-huh. And a lot of times people come in and complain about under eyes. I'm like, let's do your cheeks first.
Yeah. I don't really like the tear trough filler. I think you're kind of, do you even do tear trough filler?
No,
I
hardly ever.
Yeah.
Hardly ever. Yeah. Well, and I don't know if you know this. I don't know if I told you this when you were doing training with me. Geez, that was so long ago. But this is relatively new. Is about 4 or 5 years ago, they discovered a ligament.
Yeah, right there.
In the face, right? Uh-huh. And there's a ligament that connects the skin to the bone right through there. And that ligament's intact in most people. And when you put filler in there, it will push it behind the eye. And they started doing MRI studies on people with under eye filler. And they found filler that had migrated behind the eyeball.
Yeah, scary.
They found it just moves all over the place. Mm-hmm. And I can't tell you how many times I've done under eye filler and they leave looking perfect and they come back a week later and it's not happening.
A week even. That's what I told you. It's like, it looks great right after, but a few months, I'm going to have to dissolve the filler that's over here.
I had a lady come in and it was 5 years since she had it.
Yeah.
And she came in and her complaint was, I got these little balls right here. And is there like I think their fat is their way of like getting rid of these balls.
It was filler.
And it was filler.
Huh.
And I go, I don't, and she told me, yeah, I've had some filler here before, but I just don't like these balls. Well, that ligament pushed it all the way over to here.
Yeah.
And she had these little balls of filler right under the skin and they look kind of like fat.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, I think it's filler. It felt like filler. And she goes, no, no, I think it is. I injected it with
Hylenex.
Hylenex. Dissolved it, instantly gone. She was so happy.
Yeah.
And she's like, I'm never doing filler under the eyes again.
Yeah.
Like, I don't blame you. So yeah. Very rarely will I do it. If I do do it, I'll put very little amounts just for a little touch up. Because a little's not going to move.
Yeah. Yeah.
Likely. So. Yeah. But yeah, cheek filler is pretty awesome. So you said that used to be your favorite. Now you said PDL threads are your favorite?
PDL threads. Yeah. Back to the under eye, I can put a couple of smooth threads in that tear trough and they don't move.
I never thought about that.
Yeah. And it works great. It pops it out a little bit.
Do they tent at all? For those of you that aren't in the industry, a PDO thread is a absorbable suture that when you put it under the skin, it dissolves and turns into collagen.
Yeah.
Okay. And they've designed threads that have like little ridges in it to that you can like pull skin tight. And then they have threads that are smooth or twisted or different things that can kind of add a little bit of volume.
Yeah.
And so you'll put them in that trough.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Just a couple. It's right there. It looks
two
really
on each side.
Uh-huh.
I want to try that.
Yeah.
And they don't tent up. You don't see them or anything like that.
No. Nope.
How deep do you put them? Do you put them
just subdermal? Yeah. Just barely. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to try that.
Yeah. And it looks good. I usually put like a vector. I just do along the jawline and along the cheekbones and it just lifts the whole face. So you get some cheek definition. You get a snatched jawline. I'll do a little bit under the chin so that pulls all that skin tight.
Yeah.
And
you're really good at it.
Thanks.
I don't do a whole lot of PDO threads, to be honest with you. If they're done right, they look really well. I do use a lot of the smooth threads.
Yeah.
Like some people for talks, they'll have these angry 11s and just can't get rid of them.
Yeah.
I'll put some smooth threads.
Which is nice to have because I would never put filler there. You can't.
Well, I mean, you can.
Some people do, but I would never do it. Yeah.
There's a lot of arteries in your forehead right here. We call this the no-go zone filler because those arteries blind you. It could make your whole forehead go necrotic. Just don't do it.
Not worth it.
But a smooth thread you could throw in there.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to occlude an artery with a smooth thread.
They're not liquid. They won't go in your blood vessel. Yeah.
So I'll do a lot of smooth threads in like deep lines and stuff like that. I never thought about doing it underneath the eyes. That's actually a really good idea because in my practice, we have all the, you know, like PRF you could put under your eyes to build up collagen and stuff like that.
I do that too.
But why not put a thread in there?
Yeah.
Yeah. I never even thought of that.
Yeah.
Okay. You taught me something.
Hey, there we go.
The student has become the teacher.
So, barely, but sometimes.
And I've been your medical director this whole time.
Yeah,
right?
Whole time.
Yeah. So since inception, I've been her prescriber, and we've had a great relationship over the years. She always texts me questions. Very rarely now. So you're
learned a few things in the few years.
Yeah. Right. But no, it's been great. It's been a great time, and I really enjoyed seeing you blossom from.
Oh, thank you.
From that hospital beat down. person, right?
Yeah.
And you know these nurses, the burned out
nurse. It's true. Always tired. Yeah.
Always tired. Always like, oh, I got to go to work this week. Mm-hmm. You know, always like, now what to? I'm rocking it.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I got the life I want. Like that's
making it to all
gig.
My kids' games. Yeah.
And then when the kids are out, I'm going to step it up a notch. I'm going to work it harder.
Yeah.
And then you'll be.
Have
an excellent retirement. Yeah. So, well, cool. What else? Anything else you want to talk about before we call it a day?
I don't know.
Anything else that's fun?
Yeah, I can't think of anything.
Yeah, it's fun. Nursing is a cool profession because
it's
there's
awesome.
So many different options, right?
And it's fun. You have to try all sorts of things and figure out where you like, but
I mean, everybody's got to do a med surgery rotation at some point, just so you can get
It's a good initiation.
It's a good initiation. Ural would be an interesting one too. Lots of interesting stuff with that.
It's interesting,
You know, but you get tired of it, you can move into something else. What's funny is the nurses that I know that go into aesthetics rarely get out of it.
Yeah. I don't ever want to leave. So I get that.
You don't ever want to leave because as long as you work it, it will work for you.
It'll pay off. It's a nice schedule and it's just fun to do.
Perfect. Well, cool beans. Well, thanks, Lindsay, for meeting with us today. It was really fun having
thanks
you
for having
on.
Me. It was fun.
Always good to catch up. And thanks again to our sponsor, Five Square Aesthetics, making nurses' dreams come reality in aesthetics. So thanks for coming in. And
thank you.
I'm sure we'll be talking sooner than later.
Oh, yeah.
Perfect. Thanks.
Thanks.
Bye.